Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, Malaysia, Finland. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we are using this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live Tuesday through Thursday, right around between 11 and 1 Eastern Time. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, content creators, other amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests that come on the show during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show, Jessica Janier. What is going on in your world today?
Hey there. So good to be here on this show with you. Thank you for having me. And I've always wanted to say this to you. Thank you for your service. I enjoy watching you and your family on social media, and I'm just excited to be here with you today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That means so much to me. Thank you so much. So, how have you been doing since we last talked?
I am doing great. I am in the middle of some exciting things, which I can't wait to share with you as we go throughout this call. And I'm also packing. I'm in the middle of packing for Costa Rica. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So the title of this episode of Life Transformation Radio is Look Up and Beyond with Jessica Janier. Jessica is the author of My Colored World and the founder of Look Up and Beyond Incorporated. As a child abuse and rape survivor, Jessica is on a mission to help people to realize that negative past experiences do not equal a negative future, regardless of the level of trauma that they face. Jessica is widely recognized as an expert in helping people, especially women and youth, overcome adversity. The New York State Assembly and Senate has recognized Jessica for raising awareness about and improving the prevention of suicide from individuals struggling with depression and emotional pain. Now, you can find out anything you want to know about her, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of her, the website. It's all there, right there on the show notes. Go ahead and click on those, connect with her. So I love the work that you do as a resilience trainer and suicide awareness trainer. This is right in my wheelhouse. You know, I teach resilience skills that are designed to empower you to withstand, recover, and grow through adversity, stress, and life-changing demands. So I know we're going to have a ton to talk about, right? So the first question I always ask all my guests is why? Why do what you do? Why, empower people to overcome adversity, to, you know, get into the suicide awareness realm? Why do you do what you do?
great, great question. And I love that question because it really is very reflective. I do what I do because I believe that I am called to do what I do. It's my purpose. I have been in a place of great pain and hopelessness as a 3-time suicide attempt survivor. I understand being in a place of darkness and being in a place where death seems more welcoming than the hope of life being better. And I also do what I do because of my faith. I am a believer, a follower of Christ. I find a lot of resilience in my faith, a lot of purpose, and my family. I have a family that I never thought that I would have, and I want to be an example to my family. And when I say family, not just my husband and children, but my immediate family, my siblings and extended family as well.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I doing the show and realizing people's why, you know, it takes something that we go through, you know, to do what we do. You know, I'm a suicide survivor myself, and it seems like when you're in the thick of it, when you're in the darkness, things are hopeless. You can't overcome. And then you look back, you know, maybe a couple years later, 5-10 years later, you look back and you're like, wow, what did I just go through? You know, like what I experienced, you know, is going to put me on the path to my purpose. And I noticed that, you know, like the MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, was started because the founder lost her daughter to a drunk driver. I'm a suicide awareness trainer because, you know, I try to take my life. And it seems like it was the same path for you. You go through these adversities, and then once you overcome them, you go back and reach out to help other people through their journey. So talk about a transformational moment in your life that changed your perspective or put you on the path to what you're doing today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sean, I believe that when C.S. Lewis said hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny, I found that to be very true. I'm just an ordinary person who has gone through some adversity, some painful things, and it just seemed to be a series of events. And I can't say that there was one particular moment in my life that was this defining moment. I found that in different seasons of my life, there would be this experience. There would be this moment of revelation. I would have an epiphany. I would experience something. And a lot of times it was because of pain. It was either because of pain or it was because of someone extending hope to me when I didn't have it myself. So I would say in my childhood, I would say watching my mother be abused and being abused in my home, I knew that I did not want that. That was a transformational moment for me because it was in my childhood that I knew what I would not ever accept for myself. In my teen years, a defining and transformational moment for me was when my sister was murdered at the age of 15, and
Whoa.
She ran away from home. Yeah, and this was a big thing. It was on the news in our area here in New York City, and it was a very difficult time, but it was a direct result of the dysfunction and the breakdown and the abuse in our home, and it was my sister trying to escape this life. Got involved with the wrong crowd and unfortunately with gangs, and didn't last very long on the street. And unfortunately, we found her body, and she died the day before her sweet 16 birthday. And that was a transformational moment for me because I was very determined that I would not allow my negative circumstances to take my life away, and that I would live for my sister Vicky because she didn't get that opportunity to do that. So that was in my teen years. In my young adult years, I would say the birth of my children, transformational moments, seeing that I'm no longer just living for myself, But now I have a responsibility. I have to become better. And I had to decide, am I going to be the one to break these chains of abuse and dysfunction and neglect and all of these other things? So it was a moment. I call them spiritual markers, because if we look back in our lives, and we can see in different seasons of our lives that there were these different moments that helped us to gain the strength that we needed to not surrender to the hardship, but to keep pushing forward.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, you've been through some stuff.
Yeah. Been through some stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
But still standing. Yes. Still standing.
You know, I was raised in a alcohol-dominated, drug abuse home after my mom and dad divorced. My mom remarried to a guy who was a drug user. My mom was physically abused. Me and my older sister were physically abused. So I get it. You know, I get it. It's probably why I had half the problems that I had. And even my sister, my older sister growing up, we just always had relationship issues, trust issues, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, I get it, you know, and so I look at my family, I look at my kids, and I really try to, you know, if I'm going to punish them, or if I'm going to, you know, yell at them for something or whatever, like I really try to make sure that it's the right thing that I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm so scared of, like, going back into that, like, falling back into
cycle.
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I do not want that to happen. So, wow. So how is that, those transformational moments, how has that led you to what you're doing today?
Well, I can say that one of the things, number one, it caused me to realize that I do have a purpose. I mean, it's just not every day that you meet people who have gone through being sexually assaulted in elementary school, raped as a teenager, suicidal attempt 3 times, and the list goes on, and then you're able to come out of that and even appear untouched. A lot of people tell me often when I go to events or when I speak in different places, or when they read my book, my memoir, which really shares my story in more detail. It's actually reflections and stories from my personal journal, which made it, which helped me to create this memoir. And I've had people just come up to me and say, you know what, Jess, I can't believe that you've gone through some of this. Like, it doesn't even look like you've gone through that. And a lot of times people will judge us based on their perception of us and how we appear. And a lot of it is nothing but the grace of God. But I would say that just realizing that I did have a purpose, like, wow, I actually lived through this. I know many people, even in the neighborhoods where I grew up in a really rough neighborhood where I was a minority and I stood out and I was bullied and tortured because I was different. I used to have mobs of kids chasing me home from school every day. And that is no exaggeration. And just learning how to fight and how to be street smart and all of these different things. And being able to look back and say, wow, I made it through this. I must have a purpose. And so I believe what keeps me going is that I understand that there were certain people that came into my life at different points who helped me through a particular moment or tragedy. And me wanting to pay that forward, and me wanting to be that angel or that piece of that hope and that light for someone else, and just realizing that's what life is about. It's not about us. It's about service to others. It's about who can we be a blessing to? Who can we empower? Because in the midst of doing that, we ourselves are blessed. We ourselves are empowered. So I've just always had that mindset of, okay, how can I take what I have and find purpose in it? And you'll hear me talk a lot about the word purpose, because for a long time, I didn't believe that I had a purpose. In order for someone to want to get to a place where they take their life, it means you're in a place where you really don't believe you have a purpose anymore. And I felt that I didn't have a purpose. I felt I didn't have any worth or value because of the negative things that happened to me. My trauma became my identity. And it isn't until I realized that I'm not what happened to me that I was able to see myself and my situation in such a different and more powerful light. I was able to stand in a place of power versus in a place of victimhood.
Wow. That's so true. I mean, I think that, you know, as we go through these things, you have two choices. You can plant your mailbox and plant your address and say, this is my life. I can never be any better. There's nothing else for me here, you know, and stay in the darkness or stay in, you know, in whatever you're trying to get through. You can just give up and just stay there, or not be in victimhood and say, I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to, you know, become a master of meaning, if you will. Mm-hmm. Right? And find the meaning in every situation.
That's right.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting, too? I remember when I was younger, one of my motivations was proving my stepfather wrong. Sometimes you just have to find a way to survive, right? Like my stepfather... I mean, he was just so abusive, and he just really broke me down mentally and emotionally, because I was not his biological child, and all of my other siblings were his biological children. And my family's multiracial. My stepfather's an African-American male. My mom is white German, so all of my siblings are biracial. And I believe that he had a really hard time accepting me, and because of that, and he was already an abusive man. He was in the service, in the military, and he had a severe drinking problem. And a lot of what he picked up in the military, he brought home, but used it to an extreme level. And so one of the things that he did for me was he gave me the drive and the motivation to want to prove him wrong. When he told me that you're a loser and, you know, no one's going to want you and all of this, there was something in me, even though I was broken and even though I was confused about everything and hurting, there was something in me in a deeper place that said, I'm going to prove this man wrong. And that was my motivation for a long time.
Yeah, I know how that is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My stepfather was, man, he was, when he was, you know, when he wasn't drinking or wasn't on drugs, he was kind of a quiet, decent guy. But as soon as he was like, you know, binging or, you know, any of that other stuff, he was just a monster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know how that is. So talk about what it is that you're doing today. You know, you're in the suicide awareness realm. You know, you're empowering people to overcome adversity. You know, talk about what you're doing and what you love most about it.
Right. Well, I love what I'm doing now. I never would have in a million years thought I would be doing what I'm doing. First of all, just being in the public and speaking professionally. I'm naturally an introvert. A lot of people don't know that about me. And I used to avoid speaking in front of anybody like the plague. I remember being in high school and cutting school so that I wouldn't have to give a presentation in front of the classroom, because I was so nervous and I would get so much anxiety. And for many years, I struggled with social anxiety because of so much of the abuse that happened in and outside of my home. But what I love is that I'm able to be in a place where not only have I found my voice and I have the confidence and the courage to use my voice, but to know that my voice and the words that I speak and the words that I write and the things that I share are giving hope and empowering people from all over the world. I host an annual conference each year. I just completed our third year, and every year it grows. We have people coming from different parts of the country, and what I love about it is it's all focused on helping people look up and beyond, so that they can have clarity about their vision, and they have the tools and the resources and the practicality of what it takes to execute this vision, but also the faith component. I'm a very strong believer that in order to do anything great, that's lasting, that's going to leave a legacy, you have to have faith in something. And so my faith in God and my spiritual life is a big component of that. And so I bridge the gap between personal development and faith at this annual conference. And I love to do that. The other thing
and
is
what's the conference called?
It's the Look Up and Beyond Annual Conference.
Okay. And where is it held at?
So in New York.
In New York. Perfect.
Yes.
Awesome.
So we're getting ready to plan our fourth year, which I'm really excited about. And where our volunteer teams are growing, and it's just a wonderful experience.
Very cool.
I love that. I'm also a wife and a mother. I have to mention that because I love being a wife and mother. I love my family. I love the work that I get to do in terms of pouring into my family and seeing them just flourish and seeing them positioned for their purpose, watching my kids be children. That's part of my work. That's part of my ministry and what I do, and I love it. I am also a speaker. I speak at schools and colleges, at women conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some corporate things. And so I just love the opportunity to empower people, to let them know that you're not the bad things that happen to you. Don't let them become your identity. Because so much of people's roadblocks in their lives and so much of the lack of ambition is because they have identified with the trauma and the negative things that have happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I love that. Love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. I think a lot of people need to hear your message. I think a lot of people just need to open up their eyes, their ears, whatever, and just soak that message in. Because a lot of times, you know, like my TEDx talk was about, you know, rewiring your brain. Because we're told no so many times in our life. We're told so many bad things, but really, who's in our corner going, you could do anything you want to do, and you're amazing, and you're awesome? Like, we always highlight the negative, always. You know, I don't look good in these clothes, or I'm never going to do good in school, or we're always so focused on the negative. And what I've learned is that where focus goes, energy flows. So if you're focusing on the negatives, then you're going to attract negative energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you do in schools and everything is, I mean, I remember, you know, being a kid, being a bully. I remember being bullied, you know. So, you know, I've been on both sides of it. And, yeah, I've watched kids today. I'm like, God, you're so much meaner than we were.
Yeah, really mean.
You know, like,
and then you have the social media aspect added to that, right?
God.
Which is 10 times more devastating.
Kids today put so much weight on their social media profile. Like, they put, oh my, if something surfaces that's really bad, oh, their life is over. Social media life is over. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Just delete it. Like, it's not a big deal to, I mean, unless you have like a huge, you know, $1 million business and it's on Facebook, you know, but I mean, as a kid, it's like, just delete it. No, I can't. No, I'm like, what in the, like, I have a 15-year-old and man, kids are mean.
Yeah,
terrible.
They are.
Way worse than what I remember. I watch these kids. I'm like, dude, like, how are you so mean to other people? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's different than just shoving somebody into a locker. Like, oh, he's in a locker now. Like, that was
right.
It.
I want to fight you.
I
yeah,
mean,
right. It's Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but nowadays they're like, good God almighty. They're making kids like commit suicide. Like 13, 14, 15-year-old kids are committing suicide because they're bullied so bad.
Right. And then unfortunately that is, it's an epidemic right now, and social media does play a big part. As great as social media is, it's a wonderful way to do positive things, but it can be very destructive. And the culture for our youth related to social media is that everything that they do revolves around social media. Their entire lives, unless you have parents who are very intentional about minimizing the usage of the internet and really have heart-to-heart talks and really putting things into perspective on a regular basis about social media, it's very detrimental to just the mindset of our youth. And I see it all the time. We have family meetings every Sunday, and we're constantly bringing up, you know, how are things going in your world? What's going on? Thank God I've never had any issues with my children in social media. My boys don't even like social media. They only use it for Fortnite and their gaming goals, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
And my daughter has learned to use it very cautiously, because we've even had talks with her about that. And so it's a different culture. It's challenging, and it requires adults and parents being very intentional about helping our children set boundaries and have the right mindset about it.
Definitely. And I am all over that with my kids, you know. And I have an 11-year-old daughter. She's like, I want a phone. I'm like, you're high. Go away. Not even
right.
A discussion. Not even a discussion, you know, because she sees what's going on. And like, she has a friend that's like 12 or 13, and she's always on her phone. I'm like, who are you talking to? The world. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
The world.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a thing. But that's the world that they grew up in. We grew up in the world of, like, Nintendo and Super Nintendo and, like, Mario Brothers. Like,
right.
Game Boy and stuff. You know? Like, we didn't grow up like this, like the age of technology.
Pac-Man.
You know, so I can't
Pac-Man
even...
was my thing.
Right.
I was so good they called me Miss Pac-Man. Just throwing that out there.
Oh wow, that's awesome. Yes. But it's so I'm worried about, like, my grandkids, right? Like, when my kids have kids, I mean, where is technology going to be? Where is social media going to be? I mean, gosh, in the next 10 to 15 years, you know, I mean, who knows where it's going to be at and what kind of problems that's going to bring, you know? Because every solution that they come up with, you know, brings another set of problems. You know, let's connect the world in a moment's notice. Let's connect the world. And at the same time, let's cyberbully people and you know, and kids. And, you know, you just opened up a doorway for, like, you know, predators to easily find somebody. You know, so, so terrible.
Yeah.
So
it is. But the great thing is, I was going to just add to that, is that with social media, is that it really comes down to our perspective, right? Our perspective, even when we look at our adversities and the different things that we're going through in our lives, even the challenge of utilizing social media or teaching our children to utilize social media in a proper way, what I see it as, it's a powerful way to help us build our character. And it brings us to that place where we can become self-reflective and realize that we don't have to control trends just because it's popular. And recognizing that everyone lives a social media life, because it's just a show. It's a show. You're showing your highlights. You're showing the best of your life and what you've accomplished and what you think you want other people to see. Especially for those of us who are speakers, who are public figures and in the, you know, in the social limelight, if you will, we live very filtered lives. And I think that it goes back to knowing that at times in our adversity, sometimes we don't share our adversity with fear of judgment. We feel embarrassed about it. We feel that we should be above that, or how we're handling it, or how we're feeling emotionally about it. So it goes back to our perspective and our mindset. And I really believe that that's why personal development is so important, because it will always help us to look at how to gain strength from these different challenges, whether it's social media or something else. So just wanted to add that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So growing up and even now, have you had many influencers in your life?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always looking for inspiration, right? Like, I'm the type of person mm-hmm. that I'm constantly, and I'm not even aware of it a lot of the time. Like, you know, we attract who we are. And so I'm mm-hmm. always attracting inspiration. I mean, my Facebook timeline and my social media, it's all inspirational. Very rarely will I come across something negative, because I block and unfollow, and I'm like removing things, and I'm very intentional about my space and how I protect my mental and emotional energy. And so I gain inspiration from everyone that is doing something inspirational. I mean, I have people that if I could meet them, I would want to meet them. Like, I've always been a big fan of John C. Maxwell. I love John C. Maxwell because he's a dynamic teacher. I love the way he's taken one niche of leadership, and he's been able to reach the world, and he's been able to take faith-based biblical principles and make them very practical, to the point where he can speak to any person of any background, religious beliefs, and so forth. So I've always admired him, and he's been an integral part of my personal development, and he's someone that I gain inspiration from on my journey. And that's just one person.
Very cool. Yeah, very cool. I love John Maxwell. I facilitated some of his courses in the military, like Failing Forward, Laws mm-hmm. of Leadership, Laws of Growth. Everyone Communicates, Few Connect is a really great one.
Listeners,
if you haven't read it or seen it, they have a DVD, you know, that is a really great, and it kind of opens up your mind a little bit. You're like, wait a minute, are people hearing me the way that I want to be heard? Are they understanding what I'm trying to communicate to them? Huh. And as a speaker, that's huge. Huge. Yeah, because I get up on stage and I'm like, you know, and so what I've learned from that is, when I get up on stage and, you know, being introduced, walk up, and I don't, you know, a lot of speakers, they start off with, hey, happy to be here, and this is a little about me. Like, every time, almost every, you can just call it out. You're like, here we go. Here's the intro. And so I never introduce myself ever.
It's the worst thing to do as a speaker. It's the worst thing to do as a speaker.
Like, you spend 3 minutes justifying why you're going to be on stage, right?
Right.
You literally,
you
justify why you're going to be on stage. Hey, happy to be here. I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I spent the last remaining years of my life, you know, and it's like, okay, and it's almost like you're justifying, right? So what I do, I don't do that. I thank them, you know, for introducing me. I thank them, like, hey, thank you so much for that amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And then I go right into my – I always open up with questions, right? Mm-hmm. And then I acknowledge the audience for being there. And then I go right into and depending on what I'm, you know, what I'm speaking about or where, you know, is tailored – but I always go into my message for you today is, and then whatever my message is, so that they get that. Right? I mean, right off the bat, you know, like, hey, who's an entrepreneur or who's ever had to overcome an adversity? Cool, put them down, you know. And I always do the hand raising thing. And then, you know, I want to acknowledge you, the audience, that you could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here. So I want to acknowledge you for that. Thank you so much for being here. my message for you today is, and I go right into my message, and then I go right into my presentation. And then at the end, I say the same thing, you know, as I close, which I usually like, as I close, which doesn't mean anything, but it gives you hope that I'm almost done. It gets a big laugh and, oh, that's funny. And I say, I really want you to understand what my message is. My message for you today, and I repeat the same exact thing, my message for you today is whatever the message is. The reason why this is important is, the reason why you should be motivated and fired up about this is, right? And so I'm giving them what I want them to know. And I've learned this over the years that when you do that, it just makes for a better presentation because they're like, I got it. They don't have to find the why inside of your presentation. They don't have to become a master of meaning in your presentation. They already know what it's about. They already know your message. They either resonate with it or they don't. And more than likely, if you have a solid message to give to the world, they're going to connect to it in one way or another.
Love it. Absolutely.
That's what I wanted to say.
Absolutely. That was good stuff. I'm like, wow. Yes. Go ahead, Sean.
So are you, so being in New York, like, are you like a Gary Vee kind of girl or you like Grant Cardone or what kind of, you know, who do you follow?
You know, I'm a very unique person. Let's put it that way. I follow a variety of different people. I like different personalities.
Like
I like different styles. Yeah. Like I don't have like one person that's like my go-to person. I really don't. I do follow Gary Vee. I love him. He's great. It's just my inspiration and who I follow is just so wide range. And I'm talking, different backgrounds. I'm a very diverse person too. Like I love culture. Being in New York, one of the things that I love about New York City is the diversity, the cultural diversity. Like I have friends of all different races and cultures from different parts of the world, and I get a little taste of that here in New York. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I was there years ago, 2015.
That's not too long ago.
Yeah, 2015. I was in New Jersey. I was in Fort Dix.
Okay, yep.
I was in Air Force. I can't remember the Air Force base, but there's an Air Force base right next to Fort Dix. And I was in there doing some training. And I guess New York's like not even like what 2 hours away or something like that.
Not
like
even
2 hours away.
Yeah. Was
yeah,
it McGuire?
Not even.
McGuire?
McGuire.
McGuire Air Force?
McGuire.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember going down the Jersey Turnpike and paying the $50 or whatever it was. Like, I was like, what? How much?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, driving from Michigan to, you know, to anywhere of the east side of the country, you know, you're going to probably run into the Ohio Turnpike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like $9, $10, something like that, you know? And even then you're like, ugh, go on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It's like $20, $30. So we go on the Jersey Turnpike. I'm like, how much? Good Lord. And then
just empty
we got
your wallet.
Right. We got into New York and it was just like absolute organized chaos. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, there's so much traffic. You know, the city is moving. That's, I mean, I've been to Vegas a lot, and New York ain't got, I mean, whew.
Yeah.
Vegas ain't got nothing on New York.
Exactly.
That place is busy. And so I was like, all right, never mind. I'm going to park. And my wife's favorite movie is Serendipity. So we ended up parking in a garage across from the restaurant, and that place was
busy
too.
Which was about $100, right? $200 to
right?
do that.
Oh my God, with a family of five? Ugh.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to pay a cab to you. So we were walking around, and right down the street is a huge three-story candy store, and my kids were like, oh my God, we have to go.
Oh.
And that's
Dylan
what we did.
Candy shop. Was that Dylan's candy shop? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dylan's, yep. And I spent $80 in Andy.
Just in case. I know. I've been there with my kids.
So I was like,
oh, yeah.
So right then and there after the dinner, I was like, all right, hi, it's New York. Hi, I got you. Candy, you know, or dinner. I got you, got you. We go in there. I'm thinking like $20 or something. And they have a bag, right? I'm like, that's not too full, right? I mean, it's not like I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot of candy. You know, put it on there. She's weighing everything. And they get to weigh every little ounce of candy, you know. I'm like, what is going on with this thing? And then we get to the counter, she's like, it'd be $86 or something like that. I was like, oh, my God. For what? For I have a bag of candy. You know?
Yeah, welcome
and,
to New York.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, that was the eye-opener. So we ended up taking a the taxi, and I just paid the dude. And I was like, look, I want to see the this is me in the taxi. I want to see the big park thing, you know, with all the trees. The big park is like Central Park. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I want to see that. I want to see where they do the ball drop. He's like, Times Square. I'm like, yep, I want to see that. I was just naming things out. He's like, all right. We just literally drove around the city. He was our tour guide. Ended up paying him like $50 or whatever it was for like a 20-minute tour ride around the city. It was great. And so we got to see all the city. I was like, hey, hold on for a second. I'm just like tipping this guy. Like, I think I spent like $60 or something like that. And I was like, tipping this guy. I was like, hold on. We're just going to take pictures of Times Square. Hold on. So he's like parked. And then we get back in the cab. I'm like, all right, let's go this way. And it was cool. It was really great. But, man, that
sounds
city moves.
Fun. Yeah, doesn't sleep. That's for sure. That's not a lie. A myth. New York is always on the go.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it was like, what was it? I mean, we were leaving at like, I mean, it was dark. You know, it was like March. It was dark. We rode the ferry. That was cool. The ferry
Staten
that
Island
goes
ferry.
Staten Island ferry. Yep, that was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's an awesome ferry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At night,
and it runs all. Yeah,
catchy.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is beautiful, and it is like super sketchy because we're out on the and I have like a young toddler at the time, you know, and I'm like, go
gotcha.
Back inside,
yeah,
don't go anywhere near the railing, like no, I'm like no. So I just look over the side. I'm just like, oh my god, like never mind. I'm just gonna sit inside, you know. So of course you go right by. You know, Statue of Liberty, which is super cool. But, yeah, great time. Great time. We didn't have anything, like, bad happen, like SVU stuff that happened, you know, like
right,
law and order
yeah.
and whatever. So it was good times. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Good. Glad you have great memories of New York. Yeah. Great thing about New York is you can get up at 1 a.m. in the morning and say, hey, babe, let's do a date and just travel into New York City and find a place to eat, like, the summertime. There are fine dining restaurants that are open all wee hours of the night. Like, I remember just a few weeks back, my daughter and my mom and I, my daughter's 17, we just spontaneously decided at like 1 o'clock in the morning that we wanted French fries. So we took the train into Manhattan. We were just craving French fries. Then we went to this cool little French fry spot. It's like a Bavarian type of feel. My mom and I were German, so we liked beer, and it was this cool little spot that served Bavarian-style French fries, freshly cut, fried right there, with nice ice-cold beers. And we were literally there at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, just enjoying ourselves. And the streets were packed. I mean packed. Unbelievable.
Right?
Love it. I love that about New York.
Very cool. Yeah, that is definitely true because, you know, we were out there. You know, I was like, man, you know, where I'm from, I mean, pretty much like 9, 10 o'clock. I mean, people, civil folk are going inside the house, you know, to get ready for bed and all the cops and robbers are coming out, you know what I mean? But nope, it was packed. Oh, yeah, we were leaving about 9. By the time we got out of the city, it was almost probably like 10 o'clock because there's so much traffic. And, was like no joke. So it's good times. So talk about some resources. Let's talk about some resources as we wind down the show. What are some resources that you have used to either write the books, become a speaker, you know, anything that you've used so far that has helped you achieve the goals that you've wanted to achieve?
Mm-hmm. I love that question. Again, a lot of different things I've used through the past dozen years of being involved in personal development and just really growing myself. One of the things that I am constantly using is the John C. Maxwell Leadership Bible. I refer to that a lot. I study from it. The Purpose-Driven Life had a very big impact on my life. Reading
Rick
that
Warren.
Book, and yes, by Rick Warren. There also, I like Valerie Burton. She is a phenomenal writer, and she teaches on resilience also. Her demographic is really geared to professional women, but she's got some great stuff. Like, all of her books have always been on time, transformational for me, where you're not just reading. You know how you get a book and you read it, and it's like, it's good, but then you have this book that you read and you study it, and you're like in it. You're underlining. You're journaling. And a lot of her books have done that for me. Right now I'm reading T.D. Jakes' Soar, and I'm doing the workbook study for that. Yeah,
I'm
doing that with a colleague of mine.
T.D. Jakes gets it. I mean, he just, like, I get fired up just watching him. I don't even care what he's talking about. But I'm like, get it, T.D. Jakes, get it. Like, when he gets on a roll, he is on it.
He's on it. And he's walking the walk, right? He's been there, and he's still there. And that's what I love, the authenticity. A lot of people don't like him. They think he's a prosperity preacher, whatever opinions they have of him. I believe that he's extremely authentic, and that's why people can't handle him, because he gives it to you raw and real. Exactly. Yep. And it challenges us. It makes us look in the mirror and have to say to ourselves, like, wow, you know, what am I doing wrong? Like, where am I dropping the ball? I just love any type of resource that convicts me and that challenges me. If I don't feel like I'm growing, and I don't feel some sense of discomfort and even even pain, because you have to have pain in order to gain something of value.
If
I don't feel that, and I'm not talking about like abusive pain. I'm talking about uncomfortable, stretching out of your comfort zone, walking by faith, not by sight type of pain, because it's painful to grow. Coming out of the cocoon and flourishing into a butterfly is painful, you know? But it's necessary. It's necessary for us to be who we're becoming. And so many of us have no idea of the man or the woman that is evolving and that we will meet in the next 5-10 years if we just continue to grow ourselves and humble ourselves and constantly stay in a place of challenging ourselves to rise higher than where we are. So,
well said. I love that. Love it. All right. So let's talk about where you're headed now. What does the rest of 2018 look like? And what are your plans for 2019?
Yay. So I'm so excited about the end of, or the, what are we, where are we in July? My goodness, we're in July.
halfway through 2018, I'm like, this is insane.
Yes.
And school supplies are like, when I went to Walmart the other day, and I was like, geez, it's not even through the summer yet. Like,
right,
it's
exactly.
Flying by.
It's too much. It's so, the time is moving fast. And, you know, I'm excited about the rest of this year, 2018. I've done some great things so far. I'm really proud of the woman I've become, and I've worked hard to become her. I've done things out of my comfort zone this year, and I felt the growth and the stretching, but I'm ready to go higher. I'm getting ready to release my second book, which is called Look Up and Beyond. It's a student edition, and the subtitle is Effective Strategies to Become Resilient, Overcome Adversity, and Create a Powerful Future. And my demographic for this book is 13 to 19, and it really is to equip educators and parents and mentors, touching on the socio-emotional learning aspects. of helping students to cope with the adversity that they're facing outside of the classroom so that they can be in a position to receive what's being taught inside of the classroom. Getting ready to drop. When I come back from Costa Rica, I'll be opening up the pre-sales and doing all of that. And as soon as that's done, I will be heavily engaged in planning the fourth annual Look Up and Beyond conference, and I will be working on my third book, because I have a list of about 4 to 5 other books that are just sitting on my heart, and I want to get them out and share them with the world, because I know that for anyone that reads it and applies it, the content, the information that's shared, it will be transformational. I guarantee
that.
Very cool. Because I live this stuff, so I know. I've watched it in my own life.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, the social emotional aspect, and because I teach the mental, physical, social emotional and spiritual resilience skills, like in those domains, there's certain skills, you know, that you can teach, you know, like I talk about balance your thinking, the ABC model. I use Barbara Fredrickson's broaden and build theory. Barbara Fredrickson's broaden and build theory. It talks about every positive emotion building on itself, every negative emotion building on itself, and how you can just build more emotions. You know what I mean? So it just goes through a lot of the stuff. And as my TEDx talk was on the fact-based positive psychology research of resilience and how you can rewire your brain and like all that stuff. So yeah, you're speaking my language. Like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you know, in the demographic today that you described, 20 years ago, maybe not so much, you know, you fell out of a tree. You're like, oh, rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
What you did. But today, you know, it's so, I mean, emotions are different, and it's not even like generation to generation. It's just the way people think, feel, and believe about themselves and about the world is completely different than when you and I grew up. Way different.
Very true.
Yeah.
I agree. And the whole topic of mental illness and mental wellness, right? And now it's in mainstream media, where before it was so taboo to talk about. You couldn't even mention the word suicide. People would automatically look at you weird, like you were an alien with four heads. But now it's part of mainstream conversation. And I think that's important. I think it's great that we're in a place where we are having conversations about how are you channeling your emotions and how do your emotions affect your decision-making ability and where does that come from? And, you know, all of these thought-provoking questions that so many of us, and I've been there, we kind of float through life never even thinking about that. And we wonder why we're not successful or why our relationships suck and we're not progressing, because you have to be intentional. You have to be aware. You have to ask these type of questions. And so I love to see people who are in that space.
Yeah, I put out a post on social media yesterday that said self-awareness is the building block for personal and professional development. You have to be aware. Especially, like, I love talking about emotional intelligence. And Jen Groover, I'm 99% sure she's in New York.
Really?
I'm like 99.99% she's in New York. If you look up Jen Groover, she's a TEDx speaker, and she's an emotional intelligence expert. And she's an entrepreneur. She's absolutely fabulous. And she talks about, you know, emotional intelligence and how you have to be aware and, you know, why you think, feel, and believe the way you do and where does it come from and, like, the whole mental, emotional, like, the whole thing. And I've heard her speak a lot, and she is incredible. So, and I'm so sure that she's in New York. But, Jen Groover,
G-R-O-O-V-E-R. Yep, I pulled her up. I got her. Yep.
She is incredible. Yeah, I'd connect with her. And, if you want to know anything about emotional intelligence, if you ever need an emotional intelligence speaker, she is the one. So, and she has a pretty cool radio show. And then if you connect with her, just tell her that I told you to contact her. Yeah, she's got a Facebook Live show that she does. So
love it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I'll put a bug in her ear. Like, hey, you need to connect with this person. So awesome. So as we wrap up, we have a couple minutes. As we wrap up, can you shamelessly plug whatever it is that you want to shamelessly plug? Your websites, Facebook, your products, movies, your conference, whatever it is that you want to talk about. This is your time to shine. Well, I mean, we shine on our episode, but shamelessly plug. Go.
Got it. Well, I'm so excited because I definitely want to plug this book, Look Up and Beyond, Student Edition, for any of the parents, educators that are listening to this show. This is a powerful resource and tool that you must have in your arsenal to empower the youth in your life, to help them overcome adversity, and to help them see challenges in a positive way, help them to find purpose in their pain. I am also welcoming, or actually inviting everyone to check out jessicajanier.com, which is my website. You can learn more about me, see my bio. I am available for speaking. I've spoken at conferences. If you're looking for a speaker, I do travel, so I would love to come to your state and bring my New York flair. So, yes, I look forward to hearing from some of you. And if you are interested in connecting on social media, please do that. Sean mentioned this at the beginning of the show. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Just connect with me there. And I would love to follow you and learn about some of the things that you're doing. And I also believe in the power of collaboration. There's just a lot of power when like-minded people get together and they have the same goal of influencing people in their sphere of influence in a positive and empowering way. So I'm always looking forward to meeting like-minded people. And that's where I'm at, Sean. I really enjoyed my time with you today, and I'm just really excited about the work that you do. We definitely speak each other's language, and you're one of my inspirational people that I follow and admire. So, yeah, so keep it coming. And I also love to see you with your family as well.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you. So in 30 seconds or less, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
I mentioned earlier that C.S. Lewis said hardships often prepare ordinary people for an or extraordinary destiny. My challenge would be to anyone going through a difficult time, who's going through a painful, traumatic experience, is to hold on. Sunshine comes after the clouds. Light comes after darkness. Joy comes after sadness. And purpose comes after pain. And if you have that type of mindset, you will be positioned to do extraordinary things in this world. So hang on. You don't have to be you don't have to have degrees or titles. You don't have to have a certain skill set. A lot of times we are equipped through our experiences. And so if we walk by faith, we will understand and recognize sometime later on why these things happen to us and how we can stand in a place of power versus a place of victimhood. So that would be what I would want to leave with anyone, especially the listeners who are listening and they're just going through a hard time. Hang on,
right.
Reach out, don't go through it alone, and recognize that you have greater ahead of you. Greater is ahead of you.
Outstanding. Well, I want to thank you for your time. You've been an amazing guest, and I knew that you would. And I look forward to connecting with you, learning more about your event. Sounds like an event that I would love to be at and go to. And I we'll talk about your book and see how, like you said, get it out there to the masses. So pretty excited for the things you got going on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And you keep up the great work also. Looking forward to staying connected. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. You are definitely unique, and I loved the time that we spent here today. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you that Jessica said, please contact her at jessicajanier.com. She's on LinkedIn, Facebook. She's all over social media. find her, connect with her. She is changing lives as we speak. Subscribe to Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great day.